And we welcome you to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal, to teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. And you know what the end result would be? You become totally debt-free, and you live a debt-free life. You can learn more about our ministries and how we can help you attain that goal of living debt-free simply by going to compasscatholic.org. Joining in to lead the discussion today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, recently I was reading an article online. It was from the Penny Hoarder, and the article is titled 11 Simple Money Moves You Should Make This Week. Now, some of the tips I agree with. The others, not so much. Well, I sent the article to John and Evelyn to get their take. So, Evelyn, what'd you think?
Well, you know, you're right, Steve. That was a really interesting article. And they did preface the article by saying that some of the recommended links were paid for by their sponsors. So anytime you read that, you've got to be a little suspicious that they were somewhat biased about the recommendations they were making, since they may have been paid for by sponsors.
Yeah, it's important to understand where the information is coming from. And what the bias might be. You know, you never know where that bias is going to be. But now we've got the disclosure out of the way. We should tell them our bias.
Our bias is?
Yes, and our bias is you should do it God's way.
Oh, definitely. That's our bias.
And so we're going to show them where some of the stuff was good and some of the stuff was not quite in a godly manner.
Or not quite in a really sane manner financially either.
Yeah.
So, recommendation number one was to open a separate bank account. What do you think about that one, John?
You know, the first thing they recommended was organizing your finances and boosting your savings was to, like you said, open the bank account. And we kind of agree with this recommendation. If you put money into an account for basic living expenses and you put another portion of your money into savings or something like that, that's okay. But actually what they're saying is that you need to have categories or buckets to help you track your spending. Aha! That sounds like a Compass statement. If you have your spending broken down by categories, then you can keep track of it and you don't need multiple bank accounts. Different bank accounts is one way to do it if you don't have that ability to track on paper or spreadsheets or something like that. It seems like they forgot all about setting money aside for long-term savings, and there was no mention of emergency funds.
But see, that's where I was with the open a separate banking account. I thought it was a separate savings account, so you could do long-term savings and your emergency fund. So I took it as it wasn't a good idea to have all your money in the checking account, because if some of that is your emergency fund or your long-term savings, it's all too easy to look at that checking balance and say, ooh, I can spend that money.
Yeah.
So while we agree with the concept of separate bank accounts, we really think that one account should be earmarked for spending all your categories and the other account should be earmarked for savings.
And, you know, in that savings, you can actually do your own escrowing for things like quarterly payments or semi-annual payments or annual payments, where you figure out, based on the type of the payment is, how much you need to set aside every month. And you put that into the savings along with your emergency fund, along with your long-term savings. And then when those bills come on a quarterly basis or whenever they're coming, you've got the money set aside to pay for it.
Okay, let's move on to recommendation number two, which is to look at your credit score.
Absolutely. I think this is a great idea. You're the only person who's going to be responsible for your credit score. You created it. You need to manage it. You need to look at it.
You need to be sure it's correct.
Exactly. You know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website said that out of all the complaints that they received, the highest percentage of complaints was about credit reporting. And they studied the problem and they found that there's five basic errors that are typical of credit reports.
We just went through this with a woman that we're working with. One, she's never done a credit report, so she did. And she was shocked to find out two things. One, a credit cards that she never knew she opened.
Oh, seriously?
Yes,
oh, that's
but
bad.
She thinks it's familiar because she said she has shopped at these places.
Well, and you really need to be sure that credit report is up to date, because You may think it's only required if you're opening a new credit account or borrowing from a bank, but there's a lot of other organizations that look into your credit score, like if you're trying to rent an apartment or buy a phone or even get a job. They can all check your credit report.
Yeah, so you need to review your credit report on a regular basis and be sure to correct, or, you know, if you need to dispute anything, make sure you do that to get it corrected. Otherwise, it's just going to be hanging out there and people are going to think you're doing things that you're not doing.
So these credit agencies, they have a vehicle that allows you to call or write and say this isn't right or this isn't true?
Yes.
Is that how you...
Yes, you, and there are three basic agencies.
Yes.
TransUnion,
Experian, and Equifax.
Yes. And you can get a copy of your credit report for free, but usually your credit score will cost you. But there is a site called freecreditreport.com that'll send you a copy of your credit report every month if you sign up for it.
And a lot of credit cards will give you your credit score now. And even there's a reporting agency that's called, I can't think of it now. It's not an agency like the three, but they give you your credit scores for free on a quarterly basis. But I don't remember the name right now. If you look on our show notes, we'll put it in there.
So let's move on to recommendation number three, which is to save your digital spare change.
What on earth is digital spare change?
Well, you know how if you go to the store and you pay $4.60 for something and you get 40 cents back if you're paying with money?
Yeah, that's not digital.
No, but if you use a credit...
That's tactile.
If you use a credit card or a debit card, the 40 cents that you would normally get back is called digital spare change.
Okay.
So there's some credit cards or bank apps or financial apps that are going to round up the amount you spend on a credit or debit card to the next highest dollar, and then they put the difference between what you actually spent and that next highest dollar figure into a savings account. So, for example, if you spend $15.38 at a store, the purchases are going to be rounded up to $16, and that extra 62 cents is going to be directed into some sort of savings account.
I don't know. It sounds pretty squirrely
yeah.
to me.
I mean, saving anything significant is going to be a long, hard haul if you're doing it pennies at a time. But if you're thinking of doing something like this, just be sure to get the details before you sign up.
You know, I think I understand what you've said about how the roundup calculation works, but it doesn't say anything about the types of savings vehicles or anything like that. You know, I think the biggest downside to this one is understanding how you're tracking what you're spending. I mean, if you actually spent $15.38 or whatever you said, and 60 some cents goes off into the sky blue bank, you know, you can't track things. It's going to be hard up and hard to round it up and keep track of it. What happens if all this rounding up, taking extra money out of your accounts, causes you to write a check that you can't cover?
Well, that would only be if you were using a debit card, not a credit card. But I agree with you that it gives you a skewed figure of how much you're actually spending.
I think you're better off if you just set a plan to save X number of dollars every month and you know, don't worry about all this fancy foo-foo stuff to make it happen without you even knowing about it.
Well, it would be a long, hard haul to save any significant amount of money.
Yes, I agree.
Now, let's talk about number four, which is a passive income stream. And it says that this is a way to earn income without doing anything, which sounds really good.
I'm in for that.
Too good to be true, right?
So I can sit on the couch and do nothing?
Yes, kind of. Because even though you don't have to do anything, you have to do something. How's that?
Sounds kind of convoluted to me.
Well, the recommendation from the Penny Hoarder article was to sign up for sites such as Swagbucks or Online Dollars, where you can earn up to $600 a year, which is kind of $2 a day or so, by not doing anything. But you really have to do something. And the something that you have to do is all digital. So one of the things that they would do, they give you points for doing these things online. And one of the things is a daily poll. So they would send you a poll every day through email, and you would have to vote for certain things. So it's like a multiple choice question. And as far as I could tell, you would earn 1 point for that.
Okay.
Okay. Another thing is using one of these sites as your search engine, and that would enable you to earn some points. But the reviews say that these search engine sites that are associated with point totals are not really as good as some of the more robust search engines that you'll find. So it could be really slow.
Okay.
They offer special offers. They partner with various brands and offer members trials or discounts, so you can earn points by taking advantage of these offers. But the sites also allow those partner brands to send you emails, which may clog up your email account. You know, once somebody gets a hold of your email and it kind of gets out there in the digital world with an advertiser, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. So you may end up spending more time unsubscribing than you spend doing one of these sites to earn points. Another thing you can do is answer surveys, which may work out okay if you qualify for the survey. But when I was reading about it, the complaint was that sometimes you had to get so far into the survey before you could actually earn the points. So you're really not going to earn that much money.
Boy, that's a really high-paying job.
Does the math work out?
The more you keep telling me about this, the less intriguing it sounds.
Yeah,
I know. In the beginning, I thought, gee, I can do this. But now I'm thinking, that's it. Because I can create separate email accounts. And
well, I don't even fill out surveys for things I do buy, let alone things I don't buy.
And the downside is that you're going to be spending, you could be pressured into spending a lot more time doing useless things instead of spending your time on things that are much more important. And you may be pressured into buying things just to gain points. So that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
So why don't you start doing that and report back in about a month?
Tread lightly. There's no way. I don't sign up for any of that stuff. So tread lightly with that one.
Just a reminder, this is Manage Your Money God's Way. Now, if you're looking to save money, pay off all your debt, then we have a small group 9-week study that would be perfect for you, your family, and friends. Go to CompassCatholic.org and click on Bible Studies and take a look at the very first one that shows up. It's called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And if you have an interest, we can do it in your home, in your parish. Simply fill out the contact form and we'll get back in touch with you right away. Well, today we're sharing our thoughts on an article that we came across on pennyhoarder.com. They're giving us 11 money-saving tips that you can start this week. Now, we're going through each and every one and provide you with God's perspective on it. So let's get back to the countdown, John.
Recommendation 5 is to take steps to consolidate your debt. And according to the article, they advise that debt consolidation could substantially lower payments you're already making on your debt and save you more money every month.
So define debt consolidation in the article. What did
they
mean?
Well, I think what they're saying by debt consolidation is that you get one loan to pay off all your debt, assuming that it's at a lower interest rate than the combined interest of what you're paying on all your credit cards, or what I'm assuming they're talking about credit cards for the most part, and that the payments with a lower interest rate, and you know, the payments should be maybe a little bit less.
That sounds dangerous to me.
Oh, it sounds real dangerous. You know, our experience indicates that if you get a consolidation loan, it's really not solving the root cause of the problem. And that is, ta-da.
Overspending.
You're overspending and you're not managing your debt. A consolidation loan is a quick fix. And if you don't fundamentally change your lifestyle or your spending habits, not only are you going to have to pay off that consolidation loan, but you're going to start racking up more debt on your credit cards.
Because you haven't changed your lifestyle.
You haven't changed your lifestyle. So now you got this big pile of debt called a consolidation loan. And now you got, oh, my credit cards, they don't have anything on them. I can start using them again. Wrong, wrong, wrong. In our experience, the only way to pay off credit is to do the hard work to change your lifestyle. Curb your spending habits. Develop and use a budget or a spending plan. And understand, discern your wants versus your needs. You may want a lot of stuff, but you don't need that much. You know, you need to make sacrifices to make the fundamental change in the way you manage your money.
So recommendation number 6 is to make your 401k blossom. This one has multiple layers underneath it. I mean, making your 401k bigger is a good idea because we all need to be serious about saving for retirement. But their recommendation was a robo-advisor for your employer-sponsored retirement funds.
And what is a robo-advisor?
It's a website where you go to and they automatically shift funds from one investment to another based on what's going on in the market. So it's an automatic computer-generated thing to move money around.
That doesn't sound
so
good.
So you have no control.
Okay. It's a robo-advisor. It's just a computer program that runs it for you. And the other thing I didn't like about this one was that they were only talking about your employer-sponsored plan. And we encourage everybody to also have an IRA.
Right.
And if the robo-manager is only managing half of your portfolio, you're not really getting a total picture of your entire investment portfolio.
I don't know. Having a computer to automatically manage it, that doesn't sound like it's good for any part of it.
It sounds like all the robo-calls we get. And the fact that they keep getting more and more sophisticated, they actually greet you and then wait for you to greet them back, and then they start into their spiel.
You know, there's also a statement in the on the website, I guess, that there is no guarantee that the RoboFund can or will be able to reduce your hidden costs.
Yeah, that was the whole reason for doing the RoboFund, was because it would reduce your costs as opposed to sitting down with a financial planner and actually paying somebody to manage your investments.
So if they don't guarantee that, I'm not sure what they're going to, you know, hope to accomplish. I think you really need to sit down with a financial advisor, knee to knee, eye to eye, talk about what your wants and your needs are, and let them help you discern the right choices. And yes, you're going to pay some fees for that, but you're going to more than make up for the fees by just staying in the market long term and letting that money grow and multiply, and you keep adding to it.
Well, the other thing is, if you don't understand what's going on when you're sitting down with somebody that you can ask questions and talk to, how are you ever going to understand what's going on if you're dealing with a computer that's just automatically doing things in the background?
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't like that one at all.
That doesn't sound like a great way to go.
Yeah, that one gets an X from us. All right, now the next one is kind of related. It's investing without the hassle. And this is real similar to what we were talking about earlier with a digital change. So their recommendation was an app called Stash, S-T-A-S-H. And it's a site that caters to small investors. And I think that's a good idea because some of the bigger investment firms need a certain amount before they'll even talk to you.
Right.
You have to have a certain amount to save. But they're talking about getting the extra money from your credit cards or your bank accounts and rounding up, like the first thing that we talked about, and putting that into an investment account. So there again, you need to really understand how much they're doing, what they're rounding up, what your fees are, and just ask lots and lots of questions so that you understand what's going on there. That one sounds dangerous to me too.
Yeah, it sounds really dangerous. And I think you really, I go back to what I said before, you need to have a plan for savings and investing. Rounding up 60 cents at a time, that doesn't do the trick for me.
It's not going to go real fast.
No. Okay. Recommendation 8, cut wasteful expenses.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
So we have all those charges that occur each month, and we just don't even blink an eye at them because they're set up on auto pay. Maybe it's your cell phone bill or your home telephone bill or
cable
TV. Yeah,
extra premium stations on cable.
Yeah.
You know, like if, for example, if you have a roommate, are you still playing for your Netflix account, even though your roommate is the one that runs the TV and usually you use his account instead of your account?
Yeah.
So why are you paying for something you're not using?
Or paying for Spotify premium and still using Pandora and things like that. Yeah. It's a good idea. And, you know, if you need to be able to track it in some fashion.
So their recommendation is a new app called Clarity Money, where this app will find forgotten subscriptions and cancel them. I don't understand how the app would find subscriptions that you're not using. So that part of it didn't really make any sense.
If you forgot about them, how are you going to be able to tell it about them?
Yeah, so I wasn't quite sure how that one worked. And how does the app know if you're using them or not? And if you're, like you said earlier, John, if you're really having a spending plan, then you need to know where your money's going, and you don't need a stranger telling you what you're paying for every month.
Right, right. You need to be in control. And if you're using all these things to tell you, or to, you know, create your control, then you're not really in control.
That's right. So let's go on to recommendation number 9, which is to optimize your credit card rewards usage. What do you think about that one, John?
Well, I think it's probably a good idea. I think there's some caveats there that you need to be aware of. But, I mean, we do that. We have 2 credit cards. One for airline miles and one for hotel miles, and we use
hotel miles,
hotel points.
I guess. There you
okay,
go.
Yeah, there you go. We use both of those in the ministry. You know, I try to maximize based on where we're spending and the things that we're doing. But you know what? None of these cards or none of the optimization programs make any sense at all if you don't pay off your credit card at the end of every single month. If you end up having to carry a balance over for the next month, you need to cut your card up because you're not spending within your spending plan.
But I kind of like the idea behind this one. And the website they recommended was birchfinance.com, birchfinance.com. And it analyzes the way you spend money, and then it recommends which card you should use based on the points or the cash back that you get. So I think that's a good idea because the credit cards have all kinds of different points and values. And if you're not using one that maximizes the way you spend money, then you may be not maximizing what you could be earning and spending differently. Does that make sense?
That does definitely make sense.
But I totally agree with you. If you're not going to pay it off each month, then don't do it.
Yeah, if you don't pay it off, my recommendation is no go.
Recommendation 10 is to sell all your old stuff. What do you think about that one?
I think all you got to do is walk out in the garage and take a look. Is your car in the garage or not?
And if it's not in the garage, then you need to declutter, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Actually, there were a couple of good websites they recommended here. Declutter, declutter.com is a website for selling video games, CDs, DVDs, old cell phones, Blu-rays, stuff like that. There was a website called Book Scouter, and that's a way to get rid of your old college textbooks because it gives you the site that's going to pay you the most money for that textbook.
So what was the 11th recommendation?
Oh, 11 was to begin your journey to becoming debt-free, and we totally agree with that one, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. There's no better feeling in the world than paying off that last credit card. And when the last car payment is made, and when the mortgage is gone, that's an absolutely new high. So we absolutely agree with that.
The way to start is to figure out what really you need to pay off first, and we always recommend paying off credit cards first.
The thing that you need to take from all this is there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet. When you looked up this article, Evelyn, you probably had another 1 million hits that you could have looked at the same time. You have some good ideas out there, and then you got some that maybe aren't quite so good. Pay attention to where you're getting your information. Make sure that it's good stuff.
Well, and a lot of these were very small things, and that might help you get a quick start and have some small successes. And we have a verse that fits in there. It's from Job 8:7, which says, "Though your beginning was small, your future will flourish indeed." So small is not bad, but just do it wisely.
And there you have it, the 11 money-saving tips that you can actually begin this week. What we did is we took it from God's perspective. Now, we've assembled all the notes from today's show, and we included some of the websites that we referred to. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Compass on the radio, and you will see today's show notes. Now, before we leave you today, we want to answer a question from one of our listeners. And this one reads, John and Evelyn, I got a call from a debt collector about a debt from 9 years ago. It was a fee from an electric company that I did not pay because I did not feel I should have been charged that fee. Now, the collector threatened to report it to the credit agencies. My question, is this an empty threat after 9 years?
Collection accounts can only be reported for 7 years and 6 months, 7.5 years, from the date you first fell behind to the original creditor. However, if a creditor or collector sues you afterwards and gets a judgment against you, then that can be reported separately and a new reporting period starts all over again.
Doesn't a debt collector have to prove to you with documentation what you owe? I mean, just because somebody calls you doesn't mean much.
They have to provide some documentation.
So there should be some kind of documentation The person should get.
Well, Mary, I hope this was the answer that you were looking for. Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, send those questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening, and we invite you back again for Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries, and this is Breadbox Media.